Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us as we begin a new week of talking about things that really impact your life, politics. And we do it with a cup of coffee. Hope that you all had a great weekend. I certainly did as I worked. The only time I had off yesterday was going to church in the morning. Where? I ran into one of the listeners of this show, and she said something interesting to me that I think we should talk about, along with a lot of other things, including one of the things she said to me when I walked into the pre-service prayer room was, it was hard to tear ourselves away from the Fox News this morning, because when I got up, I don't know about you, but I turned on the TV, and I try not to watch Fox News or any political show over the weekend. I do, and I'm quite serious, because I want to give it a rest in my brain, my spirit, right? And I advise that you do too, but I just happened to do it, and there's Trump. Actually, I didn't talk on – actually, let me back up a moment. I'm in error here. Actually, I turned on Channel 12 out of Portland because I wanted to see the forecast. Yeah, because I'm still doing hemp harvest. So anyway, I wanted to see the forecast. And there's Trump talking live. And he's talking about killing al-Baghdadi. And that's what Anne Marie was talking about when I walked into the prayer room. She said, well, it was hard to tear myself away from Fox News this morning. Yeah. And then I turned over to Fox News, and it was. Because Trump went on and on and on, and of course he held an impromptu press conference and all of that. So let me ask you, do you remember back when Obama did the right thing in authorizing the raid to kill Osama bin Laden? Now, I celebrated that. I'm glad he did it. I wish it had happened earlier, but it happened. And he wasn't afraid to do it, although he had called off other raids and other things that should have been done, as you know. But let's just call it for what it was. It was the right move. Trump has barely been given by the left, by the Democrats, grudging credit for this. And they're careful how they do it because they immediately go after Trump on other things. And I watched that happen on Fox News later in the day because I wanted to see more of this because I wanted to learn more. I mean, it's an interesting thing for a guy like me because the Rangers and Delta Force were part of this thing, okay? And I spent some time with the Rangers from the Oregon National Guard. Yes, we have Ranger units. We have Special Forces, by the way. You may not know this, in the Oregon National Guard. Yeah, we do. And I spent some time with the Rangers in both Iraq and Afghanistan in 04 and 06. And I'll tell you that this is a big deal. Will Trump get any lasting credit for this in the minds of people out there that are those persuadables? That's it. A question I want to ask you. Now, the reason that I'm doing that is because it is this thing about what does it mean for us to persuade and influence others? Remember, this is a theme, as you know. Now, we get back to my comment by Anne Marie. Because she said, Tuesday morning show, where I talked about, and I asked you this question, right, about this state senator that asked me, what's it going to take to get the grassroots fired up for the next elections, right? And you all participated, and I am grateful for that. I still have yet to, just because we haven't had the opportunity to connect, to share that with this particular senator, but I'm going to do it, okay? It's one of the Oregon Republicans that walked out for 9 days. Kudos to them. But they want to know. I think, and I think it's important that they do know, because that is going to be the basis of really what's going to happen here in the upcoming elections. But it gets back to this point. She said to me that she was pacing the floor when I started in asking that question, okay? All right. Because it set her mind thinking. And that's what I've been trying to do all along here. And I want you to know, on all of these issues we're going to talk about today, I want you to think about them. Because you are, and I said this Friday, you are the greatest influencer you know. It's really true. Because you do know people. Again, I go back to the average. If you sat down and wrote out a list of people that you know fairly well, I'll bet you it's 250 plus people. Over the years, consistently, at least in America, that's been the number that is people that we know, that we have relationships with, that we can talk to about a lot of things. Okay? 250 people. Think about that. How many of those people are politically persuadable? And on what subjects? You might be surprised. That's why I said you're the greatest influencer you know. Because you have the potential to persuade others to think differently or to consider and ponder the important issues of the day, how they affect them. For instance, this, and I'll get into the topics today here. In the Oregonian, and you can see this on OregonWatchdog.com. Oregon Insight is the headline of this news story. The state's business taxes are still amongst the lowest, but next year, .. Yeah, it ain't going to be. It's the new hidden sales tax. So what does that mean to you? It means your cost of living is going way up. Way up. About 4%, according to the state. I think it's higher than that. And there is some numbers out there that it is higher than that. There's another story here, and this is laughable beyond almost description. The Cascade Policy Institute, and I love these folks. Portland's rising bills are purposeful accidents. I don't think there's anything accidental about mismanaging the taxpayers' money, about putting in place ideas. Take, for instance, again, I go back to the city of Salem. In what the city council has done to mismanage their funds, to misspend funds, and how now that they, instead of fixing that and going back and fixing what's wrong, they're going to make you pay more. It's no different than the Portland City Council. And they start off this story at Cascade Policy Institute, and I love these folks. But I don't think this is the right headline. Anyway, they say Portland City Council has just learned that what it thought was a $500 million filtration plant will now be an $850 million project and may go as high as $1.2 billion. The reason for the 70% spike? The Water Bureau didn't include the cost of the pipes leading to and from the plant. Those forgotten pipes are going to add more than $130 a year to the average water bill. The truth is, they write, those pipes weren't forgotten. They were omitted so the Bureau could lowball the cost of the project. This isn't the first, they write. The Portland Aerial Tram was three times over budget, in part because the city forgot to include soft costs. If they included those costs, the eye-popping prices for the tram would have gotten even a spendthrift city council, that means liberal, some pause. Portland Public Schools intentionally lowballed the cost of school construction so voters would approve a school bond. These are not accidentals or mistakes. This is intentional malfeasance by the bureaucracy. Now, let's stop there. How can you use this particular story and some of the others we're going to talk about, like The Hill story today that says 7 in 10 millennials say they would vote for a socialist. Or about how Oregon driver's license for illegals, their opponents. You know, we talked about that story last week. Oregonians for immigration reform, which were central in the 2014 petition that repealed by 2-1 Oregon's illegal alien driver's license law. This is a Willamette Week story. Of course, they say, well, things have changed, and now we got sanctions and voter attitudes, and nah, nothing. And last week, of course, Republican Secretary of State Bev Clarno threw out the initiative, saying it had to include the text of the law it was repealing. No, it doesn't. Because prior initiative petitions have been accepted by the Secretary of State's office saying the same thing. ORS blah, 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 blah is hereby repealed. Now, too bad they're not taking it to court, because they should. So the refiling, that's important. Why? Because the illegal alien driver's licenses only rewards people who are breaking our laws. And it doesn't lead to safer roads. They say that in the story. That's a lie. Because that has been the case in every state that has passed illegal alien driver's licenses. In fact, it not only doesn't change the rate of illegal alien accidents and how they hurt legal folks, including legal immigrants. It doesn't change that at all. And it doesn't include higher insurance rates. Because what other states have found is that initially it does, and then the illegal aliens, once they get the insurance to meet the requirement, they simply cancel it. And nobody does anything about it. Because, especially in a sanctuary state, right? Or how about this story about how the high minimum wage is causing a number of high-end restaurants to close, including some in Oregon. What's the ultimate impact of that going to be? Last night, I went with a friend to go grab a burger at a great restaurant and watch a little bit of the Sunday night football. Because after church yesterday, I spent the afternoon working, and I was a little tired of working. So we went to Red Robin. Any of you been to any gourmet burger place, the cost of a burger has gotten really up there, a gourmet burger. Now, all of these things I've just talked about, illegal alien driver's licenses, millennials voting for socialism or saying they would, and the implication of that in the future. Taxes, hidden taxes being passed on to you. All of these are opportunities for you to have conversations with people to get them thinking about what this really means to them. And you have to do that, folks, because you are the greatest influencer you will know. Now, when we come back, let's talk about minimum wage stuff and other things. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Back in a moment at 620.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Hey, we are back at 622. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. All of these stories that I just threw out there. 7 in 10 millennials say they'll vote for socialism. What do you think the impacts of that are in your life? In the future. Oregon driver's licenses for illegal aliens. The initiative to overturn that has been refiled. Has Oregon really moved beyond a 2-1 rebuke of the same law back just 5 years ago? Really? Has it? 2-1? You really think Oregonians are ready to accept that? Or how about the high minimum wage? The fact that Restaurants Unlimited, the Seattle-based company that had 35 upscale and casual restaurants in six states, had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. And one of the reasons in the filing was the so-called progressive, wage laws is one of the main reasons for the bankruptcy. And it cites a 69% wage increase in Seattle from 947 an hour to 16. And it went from 925 to 1250. There are five Stanford's restaurants, several of them in Oregon. This company has 2,000 employees. Now, it's not just Seattle. It's not just Portland. New York City, the same thing. They've eliminated lots of jobs. It's happening in city after city after city. So does the minimum wage, does it really help workers? Or does it just hurt consumers? Have you noticed how expensive it is to just go buy a burger? I mean, what does businesses do? Let's go back to the story here. Do businesses pass on higher taxes to you? Well, of course they do. This new sales tax that goes into a place January 1st, guess who's going to pay it? The story, the Oregonian says, Oregon's tax structure, it starts this way, long regarded amongst the most business-friendly in the nation, will be considerably less amiable when a new $1 billion corporate tax kicks in next year to help support the state's schools and other educational programs. Let's stop there because you know where that money's going. As previously reported in numerous news stories and backed up by the official acknowledgement by numerous analysts, it's going to go, most of it is not going to go into the classroom, friends. It's going to go into what? Backfilling PERS, which, of course, the legislature and the ruling regressive totalitarian Marxist Democrats, Kate Brown included amongst them, they refused to deal with it in any meaningful way. Oh, yeah, they passed something that they knew would get challenged in the courts. It's being challenged in the courts. It'll get thrown out, and we'll be right back where we were. That's according to the Tax Foundation, the story continues. A think tank that analyzes state tax policy and puts out an annual ranking of the most business-friendly states in the nation. It campaigns for a pro-growth policy, so its agenda is clear. But the Tax Foundation's analysis is closely watched anyway because it's detailed and consistent year to year and state to state. Oregon's business climate is currently number 8 in the nation, according to the Tax Foundation. We're in the top 10. That's inside. I mean, it might be partly why in the Trump economy our unemployment rate in Oregon is so low, right? And things are good. People are paying taxes. And so, well, you go back to this story. You marry in the Oregon catalyst. Portland's rising bills are purposeful accidents. It's deception. It's incompetence. Go to the city of Salem. Their huge budget deficit. Who's responsible for that? City councilors approving budgets that don't balance. That's what it is. Is that malfeasance or is it purposeful? Who do they always go to? Well, you in the city of Salem, you get to vote on that, don't you? City council said, hey, why don't we let the people give them that much? They passed a tax increase, which you guys should have tried to repeal, but you didn't. So now you get to pay more, I think, on your water bills. One of the two. To help pay for their deficit, for their incompetence, for their overspending. For bad decisions like, say, killing the third bridge, which if the government says, yeah, give us $1 million back, we've given you, keep studying this thing time and time again over 13 years. If they say that, it's only going to make the hole even worse. Well, they're going to say, okay, you're going to pay more, and we're going to let you vote on more. Because the reason I say all of this is it's your opportunity to persuade others. You see, you can use these specific examples. What the city of Salem has done in conversations with people about the upcoming vote on raising your taxes. You notice how great, here's what you could say, you notice how great the economy is? Well, it's about to change. But do you notice that you're making more money? I mean, wages are up a lot, folks. The economy's good, but your cost of living still keeps going up. Why is that? That's a question you can ask. I go back to my comment with Anne Marie. She said she was pacing when I asked the question, but what's it going to take to fire up grassroots? And why was she pacing? Why do you think it was? Now, she said to me, she said, you know, you waited until the very end of the show to tell. And I said, yes, that's part of the tea. He keeps people listening. But the reality is this. She was pacing because she knows how important it is. So do you? Do you know, do you actually believe that you're the greatest influencer you know? And that all of these little stories that we talk about are opportunities for you to influence the thinking of others? We'll get into more of that and your thoughts about it when we come back. It's 6:30 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee. I hope you stick with it.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Come back, everybody. Great to have you with us all. If you care about liberty, individual liberty, if you care about your God-given rights, inalienable rights, given to you by God, not man, not by government, if you care about those rights, if you care about liberty in every sense of the word, economically, personally, is it under assault? And what are you going to do about it? 7 in 10 millennials, this is the headline on the Drudge Report, it's a Hill story. If 7 in 10 millennials say they're voting for a socialist, what's the future implications of that for your values and principles? For that, it is. I mean, I got 1-6 and 1-8. Are they going to grow up believing that socialism is okay? And are we going to continue to say, we're also talking about this refiling of the initiative that overturns illegal driver's licenses here in Oregon, okay? They refiled it, the case, I think, illegally and unconstitutionally threw it out. Okay. What's the implications of that? What next? Okay, it's all right for illegal aliens. Anyway, roads will be safer. Insurance rates will be better. All of that is a lie. Because that's not the experience that's been in these other states. What message do you send when you say, we're going to protect you from deportation because you are here breaking our laws? Now, it's not what they say, but they say, hey, we're a sanctuary state. We're going to protect you. And we're going to be illegal aliens, food stamps, housing. You get to send your kids to our schools, all of that. And we're going to pay for it for you. What message does that send? Now, that relates to the 7 and 10 millennials, right? Saying they'd vote for socialism. Isn't that kind of socialism, right? Using other people's money that sooner or later you run out of. The rising minimum wage that's causing all of these restaurants, small businesses that cannot afford. That's the interesting thing that ties into this. This is out of the Oregon Business Report. It's on Oregon. Watchdog.com. It ties into the Oregonian story about after the first of the year, the state's business sales tax kicks in. That's going to raise your cost of living a lot. How is it that we're in such a great economy and you just can't seem to get ahead? Your wages are going up. Businesses are blowing, going, time good. And you still can't, what you can keep up is the same the price of a burger, a gourmet burger. I had one last night, a wonderful one at Red Robin. I love it. Love going there. But if I can't do that all the time, these are things that matter. We need to talk about them. Because it's an opportunity for you to determine your destiny and that of the people that you love and you care about. That's why I fight for these things. And I mean it, I do, because they're important. Because I want my grandsons to live in a free nation. I really do. I want them to live in a nation that understands that the greatness of America is not just economics, folks. It's beyond that. That's what's worth fighting for. The idea we would send a signal. I mean, how well does this work with your kids? Let me ask you that. How does this work with your place of business? Maybe your leadership says, well, you know, the rules are this way, but we're just kind of going to look the other way. Now, how does that work out? What messages do you send when you do that? Do you encourage? I mean, does that end up encouraging people to continue to break the law or ignore the rules? How well does that work in your family? When you say to your kids, we have certain rules, and then you say, well, yeah, we'll let it slide. What next do you let slide? Because they're not going to stop pushing, are they? Why? Because that's human nature. You are the greatest influencer you know. If you truly want to fight for the things you believe are right and good and true and honest, the values and the principles that really did make America great, this wonderful experiment, this constitutional republic, if you really want to fight for that, that's why you should understand these arguments. And that's why many of you do, and you come up with some great ideas, because I don't know it all. But I hope that I'm a little bit of a catalyst in getting you moving in that direction. To really understand and believe, and to put into practice persuading the persuadables. You know, the other thing that Anne Marie said to me yesterday, and Rebecca, hang on, I'll get to you in just a moment here. The other thing that Anne Marie said to me yesterday at church, which I really appreciated, is that sometimes the persuadables don't know they're persuadable. Yep. But you might. That's why you ask questions like, you know, this new hidden sales tax that starts on the first, that's going to cost your corner grocery store a lot of money. Do you think it's going to raise your cost of living? Or you could say, man, times are good. Did you see how low Oregon's unemployment rate is? But man, I just can't seem to get ahead. My property taxes are going up. Now we've got this new sales tax coming into place. People go, what sales tax? Because most people are not even aware of it. They don't even know that they're persuadable. Because nobody's presented the issues to them. Because they're busy doing. And then once you get their attention, that's where you can have a conversation about the story about Cascade Policy Institute. That the Portland City Council just learned that their $500 million new water filtration is going to be $850 million, maybe as high as $1.2 billion. 70% more. How could that be? Well, it could be because the staff of the city just decided not to include the cost of all the water pipes you got to put in to make that work. Gets people to talking. All of this is important. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff. I hope you had a great weekend. Hey, Rebecca, good morning.
Morning. Is it clear I'm calling because what you're talking about is so important. But the thing I've... for years I've been very... learning more and more about how abortion is such a crime against the unborn. But it took a while for me to even come to the point where I cared. And a lot of people aren't to the point where they care. But once they care about something, then you have to get them to take the same action. It doesn't matter if everybody cares but takes different actions. And so then there needs to be a leader that says, what is the same action we're all going to take because we all care about our issues? And so that's where the Democrats are expert at taking out the leaders. I've watched so many people get taken out once they begin to lead. And people see that, and then they get afraid of being leaders. It takes great courage to step out and lead. And one of the things I saw about the Tea Party is that it was kind of organic. People stepped out and became leaders without actually becoming particular organizations. But at some point, you have to all vote Republican. If you're going to change something, you have to all take the same action.
Well,
and then the people that you vote for have to be true, and they have to be the kind of people who will do the things as Republicans that are good for our country.
Absolutely. They have to follow through. You're right. They have to follow through like Donald Trump has followed. Republican.
That's why our founders told us that we could not have, there could not be liberty unless all of us are a moral and religious society. And they, by religious, they meant Christian. Let the music
play. Feel it in your heart and feel it in your soul. Thanks, Rebecca. I appreciate your thoughts today, and I'm glad that you continue. You never know what seed you're going to plant. Using even very controversial issues like abortion, or how about Kate Brown's new executive order?
greater protections for transgender, LGBTQ. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes, top of the hour. It's great to have you with us. It is the last segment for today. There's a great email I'm going to read you from Greg. And the headline is something that we talked about on Friday. Here's the headline: threats and to the First Amendment in the exempt Trump supporter. And we'll get into this because this is a nice tie-in to everything we're talking about today. But before I get back to the phones, you know, the last month I've been harvesting for CBD oil. I grow a little bit because I use it. Works. I have a discernible, difference in my level of pain when I use CBD oil tincture under the tongue or the creams when I have a sore muscle. For me, it works. That's why I'm a believer in it. No supplements. Body Care down in South Salem, South Commercial, right next to Safeway. They have a great website called Vim, V-I-M, VimSalem.com. VimSalem.com. They sell Innishield, which is very high quality CBD product. It's time. It usually is. Do a little bit. Don't talk to the folks. Just like I did. See if it is something that might work for you. Can't make any claims about it other than it works for me. But it's worth, I think, of your consideration. Vim Natural Supplements. All right, call for the email from Greg. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. How's our connection? Good?
Hey, Art. Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to say, Jeff,
you right on good about this morning.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there. I did want to, I agree with everything you're saying, and it brought me to something I listened to. It was a speech by our Attorney General, Mr. Barr, that he gave at Notre Dame. And I think everybody should listen to that.
That was something.
Well, it's... Yeah, it's the truth, and our country's going down the toilet. The rule of law means nothing, accountability means nothing, excuses galore, and there just is no accountability anymore. And all these things you're talking about deal with accountability, and nobody in government anymore seems to be held accountable. Lose your jobs or any of that kind of stuff. And the morals of our country are going down the toilet. I mean, you know, like in Barr's speech, what message are we sending to our kids when we allow places where drug addicts can shoot up? I mean, Jeff, it's just, and so I would encourage you, if you can get a hold of that speech, I wish I was better at technology.
No, you're absolutely right.
And so, you know, in closing, I mean,
you're so right.
We have to force accountability. If nobody's held accountable for their actions, they're just going to keep on doing it. The bad behavior has to stop. Have a great day, Jeff. Enjoy the sun.
That's right. Thanks, Art. I appreciate it. And I'm sorry, folks. Apparently, we're blind. It happens sometimes. So thanks to a particular person for sending me an email about persuading the persuadables. To persuade the persuadable, we have to passionately and convincingly address the issues that are important to them in ways that impact economic stability. In essence, we need to discover and create emotionally based communication on core values that people treasure. Amen to that. Rich writes an email, says, too bad Republicans couldn't find a better candidate for governor this time around, but then listening to consultants and anti-Trump attitude didn't seem clear. Don't get away of the... Yeah, maybe that... You know, what Arch just said is so important. You have to hold people accountable. You know you have to do that with your children, right? What happens if you have unaccountability in your family? Well, you know what happens. Lawless behavior. Same thing is true in public. Nobody for the 300% increase in the Portland area or aerial tram debacle. The Portland public schools bonding debacle. And on and on and on in this new story. All of this is something that you can use to persuade, saying, don't you think we ought to hold people accountable? Especially in your place of business. Some people know you have to abide by the rules, and if you don't, there's a price to pay. But your threat, this email from Greg, ties into this because it's about free speech. What would happen if you criticized Kate Brown in her new additional protections? Because now it's transgenderism. What is it tomorrow? That's the way you can start a persuadable conversation with the persuadable person. How far does this go? What's next? What's on your freezes? He said, well, you said on Friday's radio program about the agenda to push for amending the First Amendment to punish free speech, and your mention of similar laws in the UK is especially relevant. I have several friends in the UK who've embraced the Tea Party in pressing for the restoration of freedom of speech and expression in the UK, because you know what, folks? They don't have it. Not in their constitution. Then he goes on to talk about what's happening in China and the former Soviet Union and the freedom of speech and calling out the Muslims for being domestic terror groups and Muslim child rape gangs. And the bottom line is this. Is that he says he was at the Gathering of the Eagles, and he says, I have thoughts on promoting something like the Gathering of Eagles in the UK and even more broadly here in the US. Yes, the Tea Party movement, and this is how we're going as we end the show today, folks, that what happened in the Tea Party movement is similar to what just happened with Timber Unity. A truly organic effort rose up from the people, and it's no different than what happens in other countries. Look at what's happening in Hong Kong. People's liberty is being threatened. Not just their economic liberty, but their liberty. Organic things rise up because people like you and I have conversations about how political issues impact our liberty. Make it a great day, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the time with me today. Be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. Be blessed.